So if you can grab your Bibles, they're behind you. We're going to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's page 1088. Hope you're all surviving the California weather. I moved away from California to live here in England, and it's followed me here now, so I hope you're enjoying it. It can't last forever, so soak it in. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Page 1088 in your Bibles. This week's a little bit of a one-off. We've completed a series in prayer over the last month, and next week we're going to kick off a brand new series that will take us through the summer in the Gospel of John. So we'll start there next week. But here, this week, we thought it'd be really good just to take an opportunity, especially on the heels of an AGM and looking ahead to our weekend away, that we talk about church membership and what it means to be a part of the body together in fellowship, especially having looked at the book of Acts and the story of the church praying together through the book of Acts. What a great time to look at what it means to be members together. So that's a little bit of what we'll see here in John's gospel, but in this letter from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you're here maybe for the first time and you're just checking us out, or if you've been around for a long time, this is a great moment, I think, just to remind yourself again what it was that you signed up for in the first place. So I'm going to pray that this word today leaves us encouraged, challenged, and equipped for life together as the body of Christ. Here's what we're going to see as we look at this letter. I'm going to read it, and then I'll signpost a little bit of where we think Paul takes this argument, where he takes his letter. But first, let me read. Listen for these four items as we read through the letter together in chapter 12. You're going to listen for God being at work. You're going to listen for the reality that we need the Spirit. We're going to listen for the fact that we need each other and that we're all in it together. That's the message that we hear. God's at work. We need his Spirit. We need each other, and we're all in it together. So let me just read the whole chapter for us. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. We see in Paul's section of this letter in chapter 12 that God is at work, that we need the Spirit, that we need each other, and that we're all in it together. Let me tell you a little bit about the church that Paul is writing to. He's writing to a church in Corinth that is divided, and it's a little bit chaotic. It's busy. Paul writes to people that are divided into loyalties about who's following who and certain leaders. They're quarreling, and they're argumentative about the visibility of gifts that are expressed through the church. And he writes to remind them of their unity because of the Spirit. The resulting diversity of gifts that comes from the Spirit, all of which are important and worthy of being celebrated and cultivated. Paul writes to say God is at work, that these gifts come from the Spirit, and so you, Corinthian church, you need each other. We're all in this together. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Look at verse 1. I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to know, verse 3. I want you to know that God is at work. He knows what he's doing. Look at verse 4. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, what does it do? It distributes them. The Spirit distributes them. He repeats distributed again in verse 11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Verse 18, God has placed the parts in the body just as he wanted them to be. So it may not be how you want it or how I want it, but it's definitely how God wants it. That means God is at work, and he's really good at what he does, and God knows what he's doing. Paul writes to the church, God has placed the parts in the body just as he wants them to be. Verse 24, again, you just see God's design all through this. God has put the body together. So when we see people using their gifts here at Good Shepherd Mission, whether it's on a Sunday morning or quietly behind the scenes throughout the week or in, out in the community on mission together or privately in prayer groups or in home groups, when we see all of that, we see God at work. You know, I saw that a little bit on our community day. We called it Hello Sunshine about a month back. I saw people moving around prayer gazebos and tables, people doing face painting. I saw people moving, working around stuff in the kitchen and hustling it out there and sat-nav kind of pushing the samosas like nobody's business. I saw people in the prayer tent and giving away gospel literature. I saw kids running around being kids. And I look at it and I say, God is at work here. Just pause and kind of look around and you see the church in action. You say, God is at work here. How amazing is that. And he knew what he was doing when he gave certain people arts and craft skills and certain people face painting skills and someone the ability to carry a table 1 minute and then pray for someone the next. God knows what he's doing. It's his work. So how do we recognize when the Holy Spirit is at work? How do we recognize the difference between just being able to do something and being able to do it because it's a gift of the Spirit? Well, Paul writes that it's really the results. The results, if it's the work of the Spirit, is that it praises Jesus. Look at verses 1 to 3, especially verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who's speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. How do we know that the Spirit is at work? When the result is Jesus being praised. Not just lip service, but when every aspect of our lives slowly come under the alignment with the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. That's what Lord means. When we say Jesus is Lord, it means that he's not just a great teacher or a miracle worker, but that he is alive and active and working through us, and that we come under his reign and rule. My friends, here at Good Shepherd Mission, we can look around and say, God is at work. And that means when we see someone using their gifts, you have an opportunity to tell yourself, God is at work here. And you can say it to yourself, and you can say it to God in praise and thanks, and you can also say it to that individual. Just say it if you get the opportunity, maybe even this week. When's the last time you said to someone, you know what, I see what you're doing, I see it as a gift from God, and I can see that God is at work because of the way that you share. And I don't just mean the visible parts, we're going to get to that. but the hidden ones, the ones that are kind of behind the scenes making things happen. God is at work. It's his work. That's why he put the body together for these purposes. Secondly, we need the Spirit. Did you see that? It was all woven all through here. In fact, we get a great moment of the Trinity. That's Father, Son, and Spirit working in cooperation together. Kind of a picture. God just kind of designs it this way as a picture for us. And Paul writes it looking at really all of this through three angles. Look at verses 4-6. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit distributes them. Verse 5, there's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. That's enacting Christ's servanthood. Spirit, Jesus as Lord. And then different kinds of working. Verse 6, all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. That spiritual gifts demonstrate that God is at work. Spirit, Son, Father. We need the Spirit. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Just listen to this phrase over and over again. The same Spirit, the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, just speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. You got sets of gifts there. Deed gifts, you know, healing. Word gifts, like being able to speak with wisdom and with knowledge, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits. You have all of this in the midst, but what is the one thing that has it in common? That's that they're coming from the Spirit. These gifts are given freely. It's the Spirit's work. So it's not based on our efforts. Did you read verse 11? All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one based on church attendance. Wrong, right? Based on whether you look like you've got it together and you can do your thing. No. Based on how he determines. This is the message that the church in Corinth needed to hear. They were showing favor to people with some of the more visible gifts getting a lot of attention and power, and they were neglecting those who had gifts that were considered kind of dull or unimportant. And to that, Paul writes a really helpful corrective in his letter. He says, every gift is indeed a gift. That means it comes from the same source, God's Spirit, which means there's simply no grounds for giving people special status within the church. You see that here, according to what he determined. That means me speaking up here on the mic or Simon's playing all the chords is no more from God than your teaching in Splash or your drying the teacups or you're scanning receipts in the office, or laminating signs that go out, or ministering with the Monday Night Teen Challenge Bus. None of it is different because it all comes from the same source. Paul writes that in God's economy, all of these are gifts from God, and that means they're freely distributed by the Spirit for the good of one another. You know, sort of picture, you know, if we were to roll the credits of the church, maybe Good Shepherd Mission, Bethnal Green, 2018, is it the headliner names of the big stars? No, it's every person who had any part in what happened. Just like at the end of a film, you know, you get the big stars, the headliners, and you get the name of the guy who shined the shoes of the first key grip, you know, the assistant's assistant kind of guy. You get all of them because they put the movie together. It's the work of the Spirit. We need the Spirit. Look at verse 13 as Paul continues to write. We're all baptized in that one Spirit so as to form one body. And, skipping over this next phrase for just a moment, we'll come back to it. We're all given the one Spirit to drink. That means we're watered by this same Spirit. That's how that word translates. So we're baptized into God's family from the very beginning. We're given the Spirit who gives us these gifts. That's why one of the things we talk about when we talk about church membership here at Good Shepherd Mission is, have you been baptized? And second, we were all given this one Spirit to drink. We were watered by that same Spirit. It keeps us going. It keeps us nourished and hydrated and able to run. It sustains us like water to keep us going. How many of us in this scorching hot July weather, we're not even to August yet. Oh my goodness. So how many of us need water to keep us going? I mean, you just drink, just downing that water all the time. We need the Spirit. It's like we need this water. We've all been given the same Spirit to drink. That means we drink from a common source. It's our gifting, our energy, and our strength. So now we're going to keep going in the letter. And I want you to listen for two temptations that we face as members in Christ's body. Paul addresses them both. says, even so, the body's not made up of one part, but of many. That's verse 14. And he has such a great analogy here. It almost doesn't need explanation. I don't need to go into the illustration because he does it for us, which I love. But listen to the temptations. First is a message that we say to ourselves. It's, my gift isn't valued, so I don't belong here. Does that sound familiar to some of us? My gift isn't valued, so maybe I don't belong. And the second is the message that we can sometimes say to others. Your gift is different than mine, so I don't need you. Two messages. I don't belong, or you don't belong. Unless you sit comfortably in your chair at this moment and think to yourself, well, of course I would never say that to anyone at the church. Ask yourself, really ask yourself, have you ever felt it? Maybe there's ways that in your attitude or in your actions, you've said it without saying it. I know I can be guilty of this sometimes as well. Both of these temptations, and maybe you can too. So let's listen to them. Now, if the foot should say, verse 15, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. Just because you say it's that way doesn't mean that it is that way. I don't feel it. I'm not feeling it, so I don't belong here. That isn't true. Paul says in the supernatural realm, that is not the case. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. Saying it doesn't mean that that's how it is. Just as parts of the body have specific assignments and functions, something isn't quite right when one of those functions is missing. It's like living. Have you ever lived temporarily without one of your senses? You know, maybe you've got a cold and you can't smell, and it just kind of changes everything for you. Or you've had an ear that's kind of blocked for some reason, and hearing is just a challenge. What is the body like? How do you function when one of those senses goes missing? And it's really tempting for us to give that message to ourselves, because I'm not this, because I compare myself to others that seem more visible or more put together or whatever it is, I don't belong here. And Paul says, that's not the case. In fact, where would we be without you? That's really what he's saying here. In our diversity, look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Where would we be without you, it says. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And it's true. If my whole body were just a foot, I'd never get out of bed in the morning. So don't hold back or withdraw in isolation. Bring your gift forward and offer it for the common good, maybe in spite of how you feel. Paul says, God is at work. This is the work of the Spirit, and we need your gifts in order for things to work properly around here. And that's the message we tell ourselves. But Paul also addresses the messages that we convey to other people. If they're all one part, where would the body be? Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Of course, the eye can't say anything because it's an eye, but we'll move on. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Just as surely as all of the body parts enabled you to get out of bed this morning, put on clothes, walk down the street, and make it here, each and every gift freely given to every member of Good Shepherd Mission is necessary for us to get anywhere together. And the question is, do we actually believe that? Do we live like it? God is at work. We need the Spirit. We need each other. Where would we be without one another? And then lastly, we're all in this together. So Paul preaches the diversity of gifts and the fact that they're distributed for our common good. But then look at what he says next. He says, we're in this together. We can't say to each other, I don't need you. In fact, let's go back to verse 13 now. I know I skipped a phrase, and so we want to look at it really closely here. And we're all given this one Spirit to drink, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. At the beginning of his letter, he says, brothers and sisters. He says it to all of us. We're all baptized in by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether we're from this background or that background. We're united by the Spirit in the midst of our diversity. You know, I was interviewing for my post here several years back. And, you know, when they get to the part of the interview, they say, okay, do you have any questions? One of my questions was, how in the world does this work? Because I'm looking around and I'm thinking there's so much diversity and difference and even theological tradition and expectation and practice of this or practice of that. How does this hang together? And the answer, of course, was by God's grace and only by God's grace. And because we're clear about our gospel focus, that we're on mission together, and that means all the parts of the body are needed to make it work. Paul writes, we're all in this together. Look at verse 23 and 24. We're in this body together, and that means that some parts need special care. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. That word treat there means clothe. We put the right clothing on for the right occasion. And the parts that are unpresentable, they're treated with special modesty. That means we show honor, we show modesty in the places where it might actually seem like we'd want to cover it up and kind of hide it. Special attention, special prayer, special awareness of what's happening in the course of our body that needs attention. Verse 24, while our presentable parts, they don't need the special treatment. Because God has put the body together, given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Not only can we not say we don't need you to one another, the reality is we need you more than anything. And so the flow of verses 22 to 24 tells a different story. If it's weaker, it's indispensable. If we think it's less honorable, it needs special treatment. It needs special clothing. If it's unpresentable, it's actually treated with modesty. Why? Why this? Why so different than kind of the way things are done in our culture? Why? Because, look at verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Look at that. No division and equal concern. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. We did that today. When we celebrate Dad's kind of moving on from his post, you know, he's honored, and we all rejoice, right? We clap, we tell the stories, and we give thanks. And equally, some of you know the reality of having suffered and suffering together. And I think that kind of actually means that we're living life close enough to one another to know that level of suffering together and honoring and rejoicing together. There's a closeness and an intimacy that's assumed here, that we're woven into the fabric of each other's lives. There's an interdependence that means we can't just check in on a flyby on Sunday morning, that we're woven together. Membership means gathering and being in one another's lives. When one part suffers, every part suffers with it. A few years back, I had the chance to walk just a week. I know it's months long, well, weeks long at least, but just a week of the Camino in Spain. It's kind of a long hiking trail. Did it with a few friends, and I think about day three, in spite of all of my attempts to avoid it and all the cautions that you read online about making sure this doesn't happen, I got a blister on the heel of one of my feet. And let me tell you, that one tiny part of my body caused such a pain for the rest of the week as we had to kind of soldier on 20 kilometers a day at times in the heat with backpacks on. That one tiny piece just kind of changing the way I put the backpack on, changed the way I walked, changed the way I wanted to rest. I mean, it just radically shifted. The whole body was suffering. Some of you today, you know this passage to be true from your past experience, maybe from your present experience, both in suffering and in rejoicing. So Paul summarizes in verse 27, now you, and he's speaking very personally and specifically, not to the worldwide universal body of Christ, but to the church in Corinth, and I say it to you, you, Good Shepherd Mission, you are the body of Christ. And each one of you has a part in it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, the second, prophets. He's not listing an order or a pecking order or a pedigree of importance here. He's just cataloging. It's like a roll call of what's happening when a church comes together. Teachers, miracles, the gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and different kinds of languages. We need to read verses 28 to 30 really carefully. It's not a matter of importance or order. It's just an illustration of the rich and beautiful diversity within the church. It's kind of like at the end of an amazing song when all the instruments come together and they sort of play that final chorus, just loud and clear and strong on the final chorus. That's how Paul's writing here. It's kind of a trumpet call of all of the roles of the church. And so then when he gets into questions, verses 29, all of the assumed answers are no. So are all apostles? No. We could probably shout that back and forth here. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all of us teachers? No. Do we all work gifts and miracles? Do we all have gifts of healing? Do we all speak in tongues? No. But he says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. You might think, well, wait a minute, is Paul contradicting everything that he's just said? I mean, he's just said it's all equal, we're in it together. Is he saying that some gifts are more important than others? He's not doing that. I think, friends, we need to read chapter 12 and this last verse of chapter 12 in light of where he's going next. You know, you've got to read chapter 13 and then chapter 14, really. Look at the first verse of chapter 14 if you want to. Just fan yourself because I know it's getting warm in here while you flip over to chapter 14. Chapter 14 begins with the way chapter 12 ends. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. So to get the full scope of what he's saying, you have to read all three chapters. Maybe do that. We don't have time for that today, but read through it this week. What is it that he's doing here? He's pointing out the importance of the greater thing. Look at the beginning of chapter 13, the greater way of love. 1 Corinthians 13, a chapter about, above all else, do this in a way that's not a gift, it's not a special skill, it's what we're all called to, the greater way, the most excellent way of loving one another. That's what we're called to. So he says, look, be zealous about serving one another with your gifts in the best way possible. This is my interpretation of verse 31 of chapter 12. Be zealous about it. Do it in the best way possible. But Paul writes, let me show you an even better way to do all of this. It's with selfless, sacrificial love. There's no better example of giving of yourself in service and in selfless, sacrificial love than Jesus. Jesus gave of himself, commissioned by God. He came to live and to die among us, to suffer a punishment that we deserved, and he gave his life for us, for the church on the cross to redeem us, to rescue us. And then as we suffer with him, we also celebrate with him. We rejoice with him as he's raised to life, and we are given new life in return. This is the invitation that Paul gives in the course of chapter 12. He says, to say that Jesus is Lord, you have to say it in the Spirit. So friends, the invitation here is if you do not know Jesus as your Lord, if you're not a part of this wonderful body that he's woven together, in order to say that Jesus is Lord, we invite you to consider what your life would be like as you step in faith. As the Spirit enables you to grow in awareness and understanding, to turn from sin and to cling to Jesus and to say, I want to make him Lord of my life, not just in words, but in the whole of my life, which means how I treat the people around me. That invitation is yours today. Before you leave here today, I encourage you to pray with someone, to speak with someone about that for the first time. How do we live this out in the weeks to come? Whether we're exploring faith, whether we're new to faith, or we're curious about membership in a fellowship, I think there's a few things for us. We need to watch what we say to ourselves. You saw that in what Paul wrote here, verses 15 and 16, the ways that we isolate ourselves, the way we say, I don't belong here because I'm not appreciated or valued. We need to watch what we say to others. Look at verse 21. We can't say, I don't need you. We need to watch what we say to ourselves, what we say to others, and we need to each find our part to play. That's really the encouragement that Paul gives here in his letter. He says, follow the path of what you're good at, what you enjoy, where you see God at work in you and through you in service to others, and offer it. Not out of duty, not out of any kind of obligation, but out of joy. That's part of our commitment to you, as a fellowship, as church leaders, our commitment to you is to help you discover that and to step into it and to live into it by God's grace. That's our invitation for us this week as a fellowship and in the weeks to come. Lastly, Paul encourages us to desire what's greater, to be generous and creative and experimental in playing our part for the good of others. Don't do it for yourself. Don't do it for the glory or the privilege or the status. Do it for others, for their growth, for the common good. And do it in love. We've been given to each other, brothers and sisters, and we've been given gifts from God so that there will be no division, so that we can have equal concern for each other as members of the same body. That's why we're here. What an amazing design. I couldn't have thought it up. I'm sure none of us could. But God put it together, placed us together in this time and in this place for his glory and for our good. How will we live that out? Let me pray for us. God, you call us into your family, and then you gift us in extraordinary ways to be your people, in a way that brings you glory and honor, and in a way that sustains us and furthers your church. God, would you equip us as your people here? Equip us for a life of sacrificial love for one another out of response to what you did for us on the cross. And God, would you send us out, not just to be gathered here on a Sunday morning, but send us out with your good news, with your gospel message for a hurting world, because of the way that we're able to love one another and live well by your grace. God, would you go with us? Would you give us your blessing as you continue to pour out your gifts amongst us? God, I pray that we would grow in faith, that we'd grow in maturity and in capability in doing exactly what you've designed us for as your body. Show us, Lord, as a people, how we can show greater concern for those who are weaker. Father, show us as your people what needs special treatment in the right moment of modesty. God, we are your church. We stand before you as those who have been rescued and redeemed for your name. Would you equip us and send us out to do so to your glory? Amen.